Pittsburgh Pop for this week, Tim Benz, along with Rob Owen. Glad that you're with us today as we have plenty to talk about. It's your weekly slice of pop culture here at Trib Live. You can read Rob during the course of the week on TV Talk, TV Q&A here at Trib Live. You can read me Breakfast with Benz daily. Lots to talk about in the wake of the Steelers' defeat in week one. We've got all that posted. And in terms of sports, actually, Rob, we'll get to that in a little bit. There's some news about live sports and where you can find them, some updates perhaps on the Pirates and Penguins, where they are with their deal. But let's start with something a little bit closer to home overall, and that's Chiller Theater returning. That's big news.
Sort of. So Chiller Theater is back, and I was excited about the prospect of it because I thought, oh, that's interesting. Scott Harbaugh is the face of the new Chiller Theater, but I watched it Saturday. Well, I tried to watch it Saturday night. So it's supposed to be on PCNC, and the only statement the station put out said it was going to be on WPXI Now app at 11:30. So I tuned in, all ready to watch on WPXI Now app, and it was Law and Crime Daily. So when you go to WPXI.com, there are three streams: WPXI Now, 24/7 News, and Weather. So I was watching on WPXI Now because that's where they said it would be. Turns out at 11:30, it started on the 24/7 News stream, not the WPXI Now app. And then it actually started on the WPXI Now app at midnight. So I did eventually get to see it. I guess the thing that I was disappointed by is that it's Chiller Theater, you had Bill Cardell and you had him surrounded by characters. And then they played the old horror sci-fi movie.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, it was just Scott Harbaugh giving an introduction as himself, not playing a character. He wasn't surrounded by any other characters. There was a tribute to Bill Cardell at the beginning, which was nice. But it's not really Chiller Theater in the classic sense, because in the classic sense, you would have characters and, you know, it was that MST3K style. But
yes, yeah.
But that doesn't appear to be what they're doing, at least not at the beginning of the first episode. So we'll see. I would love to have had someone from Channel 11 on to talk about it, but they declined.
Well, let's stay with that theme or that tone. What's going on with The Walking Dead?
Yes. So The Walking Dead is their latest iteration is Daryl Dixon. So they're taking the Norman Reedus character from the original Walking Dead, and they've sent him to France. And Greg Nicotero, McCandless native, was one of the main creative people behind this particular spinoff.
Real quick, is this like a theme that they're going with, that they're just going to mimic what Chevy Chase did with vacation movies now with The Walking Dead? Like, is there going to be a Vegas one? Is there going to be a Christmas one? Is that what we're seeing?
Wouldn't that be great? I would love to see The Walking Dead in Wally World. That would be fantastic. No, unfortunately, I don't think
they could use one of the same
exactly
sets, actually,
that.
I think.
Yeah. So this iteration, they are in France, and it very much feels a little bit like The Last of Us. And yet, I actually kind of like this. I watched all six episodes. I haven't watched a Walking Dead all the way through in forever because I gave up on the original series when they had one child murder another child. But this France set one, I really enjoyed. They create some new characters. He meets this nun, and there's these nuns wielding weapons, which is pretty entertaining. And then the nun has this young boy who they think is some sort of salvation from the zombie apocalypse. So Daryl is tasked with getting this kid to a safe zone. So that's where it's somewhat like The Last of Us, where, you know, again, it was the lead character taking a young person who they thought was a cure to a safe zone. And yet I felt like Daryl Dixon sort of did it its own way. They did a good job establishing the new characters. They made great use of the French environment and locations.
Do they do battle at the Louvre or outside of the L'Arc de Triomphe or anything like that?
The Eiffel Tower definitely plays a prominent role.
There we
and
go.
Then there are some other, there's a lot of French countryside shots, and there's also another French landmark that they say is a spoiler to reveal. So I won't reveal that, even though I don't think
like
a
storm the zombies storm Normandy, or how's this going down?
I think it's more Daryl who washes up on the beach in France. And so he's storming Normandy, but there's a little bit other Normandy-esque stuff that is definitely a spoiler that comes later. But yeah, I actually thought it was a really pretty good Walking Dead story, and they have already ordered a second season. This was originally designed to be Daryl and Carol, then Melissa McBride, who plays Carol, opted out, but there are definitely enough mentions of her in the series that I think she will probably show up at some point.
I mean, they could make it like Dunkirk and have everybody escape the zombies from the west coast of France and go across the cliffs of Dover only to find more zombies.
Right, right. Well, there are some zombies on cliffs. I don't know if it's Dover, but you will get zombies on cliffs eventually in this season.
All right, so let's move on now to what we were talking about before, and that's some sports-related broadcasting content. What's going on with sports on Max, formerly HBO Max?
So there are reports from the New York Post and others that Max is going to start putting sports, Warner Brothers Discovery, which owns Max, is going to start putting sports on the Max streaming service for free later this year, with them eventually charging extra if you want to have the sports package. But that wouldn't come until next year. And it's worth noting that Warner Brothers Discovery, on TNT and Turner Networks, carries NBA stuff, so right. I suspect that
and some hockey
would, and some hockey, so I suspect that's the kind of thing that would eventually be, I don't know, a sports tile on Max that you would have to pay extra to access. None of this has been announced, but there's been enough reporting on it that I feel confident that it's likely to come to pass.
Rebundling, Rob, I keep saying
It's the new bundle. It's cable all over again. I said a decade ago it would come to this, and it has.
Yeah, it's already getting there. It's getting there faster than I anticipated. My inbox received a message from Hulu saying that my Hulu package was going to go up $2 more or four
right.
more bucks. It's up to
right.
18 something per month now.
Yes, they're all hiking their rates, and they will continue to do so.
Just time to find somebody else that has the code and split and share it.
Until they're gonna cut that off like Netflix did. I think Disney is the next one that's cracking down on password sharing. But yes, for as long as you can, go for it.
I will bring up as well on the topic of cable and bundling. And my sourcing isn't to the point where I feel like I want to like write a big story about this in the Trib or anything to that degree, but I am hearing, as a lot of people are in our business, that perhaps the Pirates and Penguins, their potential deal to be on the same outlet as they were with AT&T Sportsnet,
right,
that might not be a done deal yet, that they're going to have to split. You know, it was perceived initially that when the Penguins said they were going to take AT&T Sportsnet under FSG's tent and just call it Sportsnet, and the Pirates didn't come along immediately. The thinking was the Pirates were going to have to do their own thing through Major League Baseball. But from what I'm hearing now, that might not be done yet. And the Pirates might try to work out a way to continue the relationship similarly to the way it was set up at AT&T Sportsnet. And I think the big reason for that, Rob, is there's no security to whatever the deal is going to be for Major League Baseball beyond this year.
Right.
Beyond this year, Major League Baseball, like Major League Baseball is telling the Pirates, the Rockies, the Diamondbacks, the Padres, all these teams, they're giving them the 80% deal that we talked about a couple times previously, that, you know, we'll buy your rights for 80% of what you were getting at your previous outlet. But that's just for this year.
Right.
So, you know, maybe they can work out a more secure, longer term deal that at least they can have cost projections and certainty for 2, 3, 4 years, because whatever Major League Baseball does, the next sweeping thing that Major League Baseball does, as one of the guys I was talking to about this has said to me, is that at some point Major League Baseball would like to have every team under its tent. They want to set up a deal like this for every team. The problem is the big market teams, the Red Sox, the Yankees, the Dodgers,
right,
that have their own big, massive cable deals, the Cubs that just recently redid one, for crying out loud, they're not going to want to give that up.
No.
So, and then this is going to turn into, this is going to go into the next labor deal, I'm sure, with the players. So, like, we're talking about, I think, 5 to 10 years before that stuff is all ironed out. And for the Pirates, it might just be easier to say, you know what? It's not the deal we had with the Penguins before at AT&T Sportsnet, but at least we know what the cost is going to be and we can project for a while, as opposed to not knowing where things are going to be year to year, especially after this year. We've gone through 1 year of uncertainty already. Now we're talking about going through another year beyond this one, where we're just going to operate in the gray with Major League Baseball for 1 year, and then who knows what the situation is going to be.
Yeah, and this mirrors what we talked about last week. It makes more sense for the Pirates to be on the new reconstituted Sportsnet Pittsburgh with the Penguins than it does for them to give up, you know, 20% and go with Major League Baseball, go with the uncertainty, as you're saying. I just think it's cleaner all around if they go this way. I also think it's probably would potentially be more lucrative, certainly more lucrative than trying to go on a broadcast channel. I mean, I just don't see a world where Paramount Global steps up and pays a large amount of money for Pirates games. I just don't see that happening for WPKD or Sinclair for WPNT. So I have heard the same rumors you have heard. I have not been able to get anyone to comment on the record on them or even off the record, but I will not be surprised if it ends up going this way.
There's legitimate reason, I think, to be fair to the Pirates here. It's not a sentence I like to use too often, by the way, but to be fair to the Pirates here, based on their track record over the last 30 years, it makes sense to a degree for them to be hesitant about going into bed with a company that owns another Major League Baseball team. I get that. I get why there's red flags in their business dealings there, but I wonder if a little bit of this, just a little bit of this, the reason why they might be revisiting it is because there's so much uncertainty about how this can all be streamed and how this can all be packaged together. While they don't like the idea of getting into bed with the company that owns the Red Sox, what if the Red Sox have a channel in Pittsburgh that could eventually potentially be an outlet to watch Red Sox games? Like, is that any better to that for them to have another competing team in their market? Now, they might not be able to show them on cable. Like, you know, the Red Sox might not be able to have a footprint here in Pittsburgh. But, you know, the streaming packages that we're talking about putting together, I don't know that there's rules that prevent Nesson from saying, hey, buy the Nesson bundle and you can see the Bruins, the Penguins, the Red Sox, and no Pirates, you know, and all the racing and Liverpool and everything else that they have. So maybe that's part of their thinking. Maybe that's part of their calculus here as they're determining their fate. But it's just something to watch. And I don't think the conversations are dead yet for a number of reasons, perhaps that being involved as well. Okay, Rob, before we go, what's going on with some daytime TV news?
Yeah, so I did a column that posted Friday about all the daytime changes that are coming. This happens every fall where there are new shows in syndication, shows moving around. Of course, if you have Dish Network and you're trying to watch any of those shows on WTAE, good luck, because Dish, which dropped WPXI last November, last week dropped WTAE in a retransmission spat with Hearst, which owns WTAE. So now two of the big three legacy stations are not available if you are a Dish Network subscriber in Pittsburgh, which is pretty terrible. So if you are not under contract with Dish, I would probably recommend finding a different cable satellite or provider, or go with YouTube TV or Hulu with live TV or something like that. As far as the big changes this fall, there's a new game show on WPGH, Person, Place, or Thing, hosted by Melissa Peterman. But the big thing is Drew Barrymore's show is moving from Channel 19 to Channel 11, which is probably an upgrade. It'll be in the afternoons on Channel 11. And Drew Barrymore has decided to go back into production and make new episodes, I believe starting next week, the 18th of September. This is even though she has WGA writers. So that means she's going to be picketed since the WGA is on strike. I think her thinking is she wants to keep her staff employed and keep getting paychecks. Of course, the Writers Guild says she's wealthy and she could pay them on her own if she really wanted to. So that's a little bit of a battle. We'll see if there's any retreat before her first new writerless show comes on next week.
All right, Rob, what's coming up in TV Talk and TV Q&A?
All right, so TV Talk, we've got a new Paramount Plus British import, The Gold, with Hugh Bonneville from Downton Abbey. It was pretty interesting. Julie Grant, former KDK reporter, she's got a new show on Court TV. I'll be talking to her about that. Then TV Q&A, what if KDK lured Jim Lokay back to Pittsburgh and paired him with Erica Mokay for the Lokay Mokay report? Could that ever happen?
Who is it that sent you that letter? Was it Jim L. in Washington, D.C.? Was that somebody who, I'm trying to figure out who
It was not Jim L. or Erica M. who sent that. I think it was a clever viewer who sent that one in.
Eric A.M. in Pittsburgh? No, nothing?
No.
Okay, I thought that might be the case. All right, Rob, we'll look forward to all that. And make sure you check out Breakfast with Ben throughout the course of the week as we get ready for a Monday night game. It'll be the Browns and Steelers. By the way, two Monday night games. They're doing that dippy thing on ESPN and ABC where they have two Monday night games for no particular reason. I understood it a little bit more for opening weekend, why they're doing it in week two and why they're doing it with four teams, none of whom are in the Western time zone, and two games at the same time. I can't figure out. If you can figure it out, God bless you. I can't. I think it's stupid. But the Steelers will be on Monday Night Football. And so we'll write that up for you next week. But we will have, as usual, our Monday edition of Pittsburgh Pop next week with Rob Owen and me, Tim Benz, here at Trib Live.